They say we may get some storm. So let's enjoy this great time while we have it. Amen?
Amen.
It's great to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. We thank you for being here on this Tuesday evening, Jubilee 2025. Amen?
Amen.
And we are excited. In a few moments, Corey Pearson is with us tonight. He's going to come around. He's going to share some songs with us. We're excited about that. Man, love you, pal. And it's just great to have you with us. And please be much in prayer for him. I'll let Pastor introduce our special guest speaker tonight. But it is great to see you. If you have a hymnal in front of you, would you please take that and stand and turn over to page number 393. Page 393. Let's all sing when we all get to heaven.
You here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
If you're here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
Always get a good laugh out of that one. So good to be here tonight. Good to see each and every one of you. Thank you for coming our way here in little old Powder Springs and just trying to be a light to the community here in Powder Springs, Georgia. And I do want to say it's such a blessing and honor and joy to have Brother Corey Pearson with us tonight. And let's give a round of applause for Brother Corey. And of course, I would be amiss to miss Miss Rita. And it's so good to have Miss Rita. And Brother Corey, I'm sorry, your wife's name?
Heather.
That's Yeah. I tried to do sign language. I was thinking about it, but
no, I wanted to embarrass you.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you. But good to have, of course, Miss Heather and family with us. Those that are visiting, and so good to see you here with us. And of course, we had a change in the schedule, and but the Lord knew about it the whole time. Amen. And Brother David Smith, he contacted me the other day. And, of course, those that know Brother David from Pisgah, Alabama, know that he's been battling cancer for, well, I guess, I don't know, a number of years now. But on top of that, he came down with COVID. And, of course, you know, that's rough on anybody. But if you got cancer, that's definitely not easy. So, Brother David, he had to cancel and just begin praying and thanking. And my mind went back to Brother Ricky Gravely's church, Brother Chris, and I can remember on a certain homecoming Sunday over there, Brother Ricky asked me to share a few words, and then I believe you got up and preached. And so I went to that memory. The Lord brought that to my mind, but even went further back than that, went back to before Welcome Hill was Welcome Hill Revival, and Brother Art Brady and Jaron Eagle and all of them, So I called Brother Chris, and boy, he said yes. He said yes without a hesitation. And so, Brother Chris, so good to have you tonight, you and your precious family. And a lot of your folks here from Ridge Road. And Brother Chris is the pastor of Ridge Road Baptist Church, of course, off Ridge Road. And I believe that's Hiram. And your daddy was a pastor there for a number of years. And I know him real well. And of course, I believe we went to Bible school together when Brother Johnny had it over there at Welcome Hill. So just a lot of good memories. So glad you said yes. So glad you're here, brother. And we'll turn you loose here in just a little while. But I did want to say this, that our theme this year, of course, we let the Holy Spirit guide this service and our Jubilee and every church service we have. But the Lord had put a verse on my heart back when Lily had her spinal surgery back in December. And that is Ephesians 3:20. It has stayed with me. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God exceeded our expectations in her back surgery. We just wanted to get through it. She had, of course, this is her story now. She's not bashful about it. She's already used it for the honor and glory of God with friends she knows and all. But she had scoliosis, and it was a 50-degree curve on top and a 50 on the bottom. And we were going to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta for 10 years. And finally, the Lord said it's time, and we just worked it out. The Lord worked it out. She had back surgery, two rods and 19 screws. And she is hopping up my pickup truck, Brother Chris, tonight. And like it's nothing, like she's saddling a horse. And so God's good. God's good. And like I said, we just wanted to make it through it. But not only did we make it through it, man, but speedy recovery. We got some friends that prayed for a speedy recovery. Of course, the church did. And I'm not making this about me tonight or my family, but I just cannot stop praising him over what he did in our life. And so God is able tonight, amen? The Lord is able. And so that's the purpose of our Jubilee, like in the Old Testament, is for restoration, for return, for celebration. Hey, there may even be someone here tonight that's not saved or watching on Facebook. We're live on certain social media platforms, Facebook being one of them. And so we just want to give it over to the Lord tonight and see what he has for us. And so let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then I want to toss things back to Brother Allen, and let's just ask the Lord to do a great and mighty work tonight. Father, we come in Jesus' holy name tonight, and Lord, I'm so very thankful for those that are here, and God, I'm so very thankful for the work that you've done. Lord, we have assembled ourselves together because, God, we need each other. We want to exhort one another, and Lord, we want to grow, we want to mature, we want to praise you tonight, Lord, and you have been a good, good Father. You are able, Lord, to exceed our expectations. And God, we know that certain times you choose other pathways for people, and certainly we have been through storms as a family, and there's been outcomes that have not been favorable to us, but even in Lord, you have grown us spiritually. But Lord, we just thank you tonight, God, that we serve a God that is able not only to answer prayer to those who know him, but to save those, Lord, who are out in the highways and hedges, to those who are sunk and they're deep in their sin and they're trying to get out, Lord, but they're lost and they're on their way to hell tonight. Father, we just pray for the Holy Ghost of God to move in a mighty way tonight. I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired of dry services, of empty altars. Lord, I pray for the power of God to be on Brother Corey tonight, be on our choir tonight. And when the preacher comes, Lord, I pray that you'll anoint him afresh and anew, God. Use him, Lord, and give him that unction, Lord, how you've showed up and used him time after time again. Let this be, oh God, one more time that you use Brother Chris. Save the lost and bless the saved is our prayer tonight. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Amen. Just one other announcement. Please remember that downstairs we have Junior Jubilee, and that is, somebody give me the ages. Kindergarten through fifth grade. So please remember them in prayer. We have our youth pastor down there, Brother Brian, and he'll do a tremendous job. If there's anyone in those ages that are up here, I don't really see anyone. Sixth grade. All right, kindergarten through sixth grade. And again, Brian is going to give them the gospel this week. Amen. Amen. And we've seen great things happen through our Jubilee downstairs. So please remember them. That's our junior Jubilee downstairs. Let's remember them in prayer. And I'm going to go ahead and ask Brother Corey if he will come around. Would you please make welcome our friend, Corey Pearson. Brother, you just let the Lord lead you, pal. We love you, man.
Get everything plugged up. It's good to be back here with y'all tonight. CJ was talking earlier, and I can't believe how some of these kids around here, how big they've gotten. And grown, especially you. You've grown 6 inches since I've seen you. Of course, I know you got a lot of money in your back, but God has done a special need in the service in your life, young lady, and I'm so glad to see what he's done for you. And CJ, your boy's outdone you, buddy. I'm telling you too. So let me go ahead and get this out of the way. I shouldn't be up here playing or singing. It should be my mama, because everybody's asked me about her, not me. But for those that didn't ask, that's good to see y'all too. But let me go ahead real quick, since Justin didn't get it right.
Oh, yeah, that's right, brother.
Now, that is my wife. Stand up, baby. Stand up. 26 years. And I know that y'all don't know me. Y'all are looking at her going, golly, man, she is blessed. She is, because she married me. Oh, man, I better get going before we go. Brother Randy, you ready back there? I don't have nothing up here. He's napping. All right. Well, y'all don't get quiet on me. Come on, put your hands together for me. Y'all got to help me out and sing.
Oh, leaning, yes, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Oh, we're leaning, yes, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm.
Now, only half of y'all are clapping. Now, I know y'all got rhythm. We in Jubilee, Brother Justin. Now's the time to get excited and worship and praise the Lord. Amen? So if you feel like standing up, stand up. If you don't, just sit there, okay? But sing with me.
Sing leaning. Yes, we're leaning. Safe and secure from all of. Oh, we're leaning. Yes, we're leaning. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. I'm a leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind. I'm a leaning on the everlasting arm. Well, we're leaning, yes, we're leaning, safe and secure from all of. Oh, we're leaning, yes, I'm a leaning. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, yeah, power in the blood. Would you reveal victory when there's wonderful power in the blood? Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away into a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away. Yes, in the morning when I
well, it's so good to be here tonight.
Jesus died so we could have eternal life. In a cold, dark world, He was the light that shined. And willing to carry the sin of the world on His back, He hung there. Died on a tree and buried my sins in the past. He buried our sins in the past and remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, they're gone. So no matter what has happened, He'll forgive you, oh, if only you ask. For the blood of Jesus has buried our sins in the past. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Amen. Dying in my sin, I was lost and undone on my own. I had no peace in my heart. I was hurting and felt so alone. But then one night at an altar, I cried out, "Dear Jesus, save my soul." Oh, then Jesus, He came in and cleansed me from my sin, and now I am happy and whole. He buried our sins in the past, they remember no more. As from the west, they're gone forever and evermore. Oh, and no matter what has happened, He'll forgive you. Oh, as long as you ask. For the blood of Jesus has bearing our sins in the hand. For the blood of Jesus, that sweet blood of Jesus, has buried our sins in the past.
Amen. I was talking to Brother Allen earlier, and a lot of memories walking in it. Told Brother Justin, I was a little apprehensive about it, but this was the last place my dad sang before he went to heaven. That day we sung here this morning, that morning, and we sang in Gainesville, Georgia. And Wednesday the Lord called him home, and on that last song, after that first line, I could hear my daddy say it, just want to go. He say, "Sure, son, you sing it for daddy if you don't sing it for nobody else." Amen. And I said I was going to hold it together, dadgummit. My daddy used to say anything that leaked from the head wouldn't swell up and bust. Lord, I've cried so much over the past 3 years, I ought not be this big. Can I tell you that God's faithful?
Amen.
Yes. He is so faithful. You know, He blesses your coming and your going. He blesses the mountaintops going up, and He blesses them coming down. And people ask me all the time, "Boy, why did you stop singing?" And I said I didn't. That God just took and changed my platform a little bit. I'm a worship pastor at a wonderful church in Bremen, Georgia, over an outreach ministry. And I have some of my church family here tonight. And I've realized that God, if you're faithful in what He orders your steps to be, that He'll bless your feet and He'll bless your service to Him. Not saying that anything on me, because I'm nothing. I'm the least of any. But if you're willing to be used, God will use you in places you never thought you'd be willing to be used at. And it's things that I've learned that it's simply the grace of God. His grace will supply every need. When I was lost and struggling with burdens in my life, sin had blinded me to God's great love. I found no comfort for my soul, and heaven knows I tried. I saw my works could never be enough. Nothing less than grace will do, and grace will do it all. It will carry me when I can't stand, and hedge me when I fall. Anything this world could give will never be enough, and nothing less, yeah, nothing less than grace will, His grace will do, yes it will. It started with the blood that only my God Himself could shed. It brought forgiveness to a wretch like me. And now by grace
He leads me at his table, I am fed. He opened up my eyes, and now I can see that nothing less than grace will do, and grace will do it all. It will carry me when I can't stand, and catch me when I fall. Anything this world could give could never be enough. Oh, and nothing less, yes, nothing less than grace will do. No matter what you're facing, a favored child of God, his grace will reach much farther than your pain. Oh, and like all the other times you tried, his mercy covers all. And no matter what the cost, this still yes, it will carry me when I can't stand, and catch me when I fall. Anything this world could give would never be enough. Oh, and nothing less, yeah, nothing less than grace will do. His mercy will cover it all, and nothing less, yes, and nothing less than my God's grace will do. Lord, your grace will carry me through. Your grace will.
Mama, it's not me asking, it's everybody else. You feel like singing a song? Would that be okay with y'all if we do that real quick? Those have been asking and praying for Mom. Thank you. She's doing much better, but we're still rehabbing, and God has brought her a mighty long way. Brother, Heather, will you come and sing with Mom too? Lamar, you're probably going to have to feed her the words if you can remember them. And that's my buddy, Lamar Newton. I know y'all probably all know Lamar. He played with the Diplomats for a long time. Tom, he's got you a mic.
Be here, and I did hesitate about coming because there are a lot of memories here, a lot of good memories that are here, and my sweetheart, he left me not long after this church, and I asked him, I said, well, how was it? Honey, you know those people, they love to go to church. I said, yes, they do. I sang this song not long ago at Eastwood for Brother Mike Living, and I don't sing anymore. I haven't in years and years and years. But sometimes, you know, you're told you just can't ever quit. You just keep going. But I'm going to try again to sing this and not forget the words. shadows deepen. An ending day where night will ever be. A sea where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we head over yonder and join the throne upon the glassy sea? We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Lest we see the face of Jesus.
Yes, ma'am.
Before whose image other loves, they all flee. And when they crown him Lord, I'll be there. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What
will it be when we get join the throne upon the glassy sea?
We'll
join our loved ones and crown Christ forever.
Oh,
this is just what heaven means to me.
Oh, we'll
join heaven means to me, to me. What's in the stillness of the late midnight hour? I felt the presence of the Lord's saving power. I fell on my knees and cried to him there. Oh, merciful Savior, hear a lost sinner's prayer. Oh, merciful Savior, hear a lost sinner's prayer. What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm His and He's forever mine. Blinded eyes, they're now open, and I can see the light of day.
What a great jubilation the night I got saved. When I got up, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been. I was lost and I was
Brother Allen, as you, I've turned it back to you. Could we just all sing this? Sing. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great He is. Great. How great is our God? Come on, church, let's bless Him tonight. Sing it. Sing, how great, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see. Is our God. Oh, that's so beautiful. Can we do it one more time? And how great is our God. Sing with me. Sing how great is our God. One more thing I want to sing. Sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Lord, we love You. Come on, let's sing that one more time. Sing it like you mean it. Sing, oh, 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 how I love You. We love You, Jesus. Love You, Lord.
Sister Heather, what a blessing, what a blessing. Let me say this, as Brother Corey makes his way down, we begin to transition into preaching time. Brother Corey does have a table set up outside here to my right, to your left, and with some good material out there, good singing, gospel singing, as you've heard tonight, and some goodies from times past. So be sure to visit that table if you would. I believe there may be even some T-shirts and things out there for sale, maybe, along with the CDs as well. All right. Well, Brother Chris Hewitt, pastor of Ridge Road Baptist Church, brother, you come on and give us what the Lord lays on your heart, brother.
Bless you, God. Amen.
God bless you. Love you, brother. Take your time, brother.
Reed tonight. Amen. And Miss Rita, it's good to see you. It's been a long time. And y'all may not even remember me, but I was a little boy growing up around. Well, I didn't go to Fullerville, but y'all used to play Fullerville. I know you probably remember me, Brother Corey, but y'all would play with the McCameys and the Inspirations and the Primitives every summer. And I grew up around there playing and singing and all that. So it's good to see y'all. But I'm thankful to see y'all. It was a blessing. I told my wife, I said, man, I wish you could have heard her about 15 years ago, too. Tonight was a blessing. But, man, I wish you could have heard that, too. It's good to see everybody tonight. A lot of friends. I got a lot of our church people here. A lot of people that I don't know if you even like me very much. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it is good to see everybody. And something happened. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 17. Something just happened. And if you're not a musician, you didn't catch it. But a drummer just asked for a key to the song. And I, Brother Corey, I haven't owned a drum set in a while. That was my first instrument I learned. But if I remember right, I never had to ask for a key playing drums. And but he was next level asking for that key. You coming to preach with me, brother?
No.
All right. We tag team that thing. Amen. But it is really good. I preached Brotherhoods here. Brother Young would have me come in and preach Brotherhoods here when I was a young man, very young man. I come and heard some of the greatest men of God that's ever put on shoe leather, in my opinion, in these jubilees in years past. And it's an honor and privilege to be here. I was working on a chicken pen yesterday, so I didn't really have nothing else to do. And now we have our midweek service on Thursday, and we have discipleship night on Tuesday. So we got a lot of our discipleship groups here, and it just is. It's a blessing to be here. And you pray for us. God's doing a work over there at Ridge Road, and I bless his name. We saw 34 people saved last year, and we just give him all the glory. And I believe God's got something for us in this day. And I've been chewing on a thought. My people know what I'm talking about. I was going to preach on the wagons tonight, and I had been carrying that in my round all day. And just sitting there a while ago, God brought up a thought to my heart. I don't even have it in this Bible. So I'm about to preach without an outline, without being prepared for this like I want to be. But I would rather be embarrassed in front of y'all and honor the Lord than to have an outline in front of y'all and be embarrassed in front of the Lord. Amen. So if you will, stand with me one more time. Matthew 17, we'll begin reading verse number 1. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Several reasons that it's my favorite one of my favorite chapters. Main reason is I don't think there's a chapter in the Bible where you see the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ more on display than in this chapter. The beginning of this chapter, and you're going to see here in a minute, Jesus is literally going to glow, okay? He is going to shine, is what the Bible says. And at the end of this chapter, he's going to pay taxes. So there's nothing more godly than glowing, and there's nothing more human than paying taxes. Okay, so Matthew 17, let's read a few verses, starting in verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias. Now, we know that's the transliteration from Greek to English. In your Old Testament, that would be from Hebrew, and that would be Elijah. And I'm thankful for the honesty of the translators talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, look at this, they saw no man save Jesus only. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us today. Thank you for good, sweet Spirit of God. I thank you, dear God, for the Word of God. I pray that you fill me with the Holy Ghost, dear God. Lord, this was not in our schedule for the week. This wasn't in Brother Justin's schedule for the week. But apparently it was in your schedule for the week. And I pray, dear God, I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in providence. And I believe it's your will for us to be here to preach this message to these people at this time. And I pray that you fill me, you'd use me, and give us grace for the preacher and the hearer tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Might be seated tonight. I'm going to give you a few things by way of introduction. If you're like me, you kind of look at the Mount of Transfiguration and say, what in the world is this all about? It's not hard to figure out when Jesus was healing people, and it's not hard to figure out when he was feeding people. It was not hard to figure out when he was raising people from the dead exactly what he was doing, or pictures that we could take out of this. But I look at the Mount of Transfiguration sometimes, I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? Has anybody else ever felt like that? Amen. Maybe y'all got it better figured out than I do. I'm just being honest with you. But I'll give you this introduction, and then we'll get right into the message. Verse number 1, we see a separation. If you were to back up into chapter number 16, you'll find out for the first time anywhere, Jesus had told his disciples the gospel without shadows, without pictures, without types. There's no parables going on. He had took them into Gentile territory. This is the only time recorded in the Bible where Jesus really takes his disciples or his ministry into Gentile territory. And while he's there, he is going in and he tells them the gospel. He just lets them have it. He tells them the gospel, and guess what? They didn't like it. And so Peter, this is how we know he was a Baptist. He had foot and mouth syndrome. Anybody else ever had that? He 1 minute he's getting the keys to the kingdom, and the very next minute Jesus is calling him Satan. I feel like Jesus had pastored Baptists before. Okay? And so here he is, and he's giving this out. But these men, put yourself in these men's shoes. They've walked away from their livelihood. They've walked away from their families. They've walked away from their religion. They've walked away from everything in their life to follow this man. And they think he's about to set up a throne. They think he's about to take the throne in Jerusalem, just like the scriptures said. And by the way, that just hadn't happened yet. It's not that it's not going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. Amen. But they're thinking, man, what in the world are we going to do? This man, he's supposed to bring the kingdom back together to Israel. And guess what? He goes a step further in verse 24 of chapter 16. He says, and if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me as well. A cross wasn't something hanging on the wall back then. It wasn't a cute little necklace. It wasn't something like that on a t-shirt or a bracelet. No, a cross was a literal Roman cross that people were dying on and they saw just about every day. So this wasn't a figment of your imagination in that day. It wasn't some symbol. It was a literal cross. It had been it would have been the equivalent of us having electric chairs hanging up in our buildings. Right? That's what it was. And so Jesus said, hey, not only am I going to be offered up, not only am I going to be killed. And you notice they missed that. I'll get up again. They missed that part. They focused on, wait, you're dying? And you're telling me we got to carry our cross too? Because the end of a cross, if you start carrying a cross, the end is not the playground at McDonald's. The end is you're going to die. This was not figurative speech. We use it figuratively, Brother Corey, that take up your cross and follow me. We use that figuratively. But Brother Justin, this was not figurative to these men. So here, Jesus has separated these men out. He really drew a line in the sand. And he lays it down, and he is taking these men apart. And if you notice, he takes his inner circle up on this mountain because he needs to show them some things that he can't show everybody else. That's what this text is about. God, and can I say this week, I know I talked to Brother Mark Stroud for 40 minutes today. I love Brother Stroud. Y'all pray for him. My wife fed me too much before we came here. We had pot roast. How many of y'all hadn't had supper yet? All right. Had deer pot roast. Hallelujah. Every head bowed and everything. No, I'm just kidding. So I know y'all going to get some preaching. Even if y'all don't get any tonight, y'all going to get some preaching this week. But there's no telling what God wants to show you this week. There's no telling what God wants to pour into you this week. But you got to be here. You got to be present. Amen?
Amen.
You gotta be involved. You can't sit there on your phone. You can't do all that. I love our building. It's all metal. Then they can't get good service in there. Amen. I love it. And I don't give out the Wi-Fi password. All right? Some of them boys sit real close to the windows. They don't think I know what they're doing. Amen. Am I telling it right, Brother Rooster? I think I know what I'm talking about. But tonight, there needs to be a separation where there's times in your life you get away and you get along with God. We've never been in a more just filled up. Everything's in our face. Everything's going. Not even all sinful things. There's just stuff always going on. And I am so guilty because I can be efficient. I can get so much done. But you're not getting anything done if you're not doing it with the Lord. So I see the separation in these verses. Number two, the verse two, I see the shining in these verses. Look at our verse here. And was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Contrary to stained glass window theology, Jesus didn't walk around glowing. He didn't. The Bible says in Isaiah that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There is no beauty. So according to the scriptures, he looked like just like any other Jewish man. He went about his day. I don't think he floated around everywhere he went. I don't think it was some spooky thing. But he didn't glow everywhere he went. So this time, he is allowing them to see him differently than he did any other time in his ministry. You understand that? The word transfigured here. Now, we have an English Bible and a perfect English Bible in the King James Bible. Somebody say amen right there. But the word transfigured, there are Greek words behind this, and I'm not a Greek theologian. I don't even know any Greek theologians. Amen? But the word transfigured, the Greek word is metamorpho. Now, does that sound familiar to anybody? Metamorpho. That's where we get our word metamorphosis. So here is the word picture here, Brother Richie. Brother Richie likes this word picture because I taught it to him the other night at discipleship. Here's the word picture. There is a worm, right? We would call it a caterpillar. Here's this worm that nobody likes, nobody pays attention to. Okay? Did you know there's a town in Mexico that all the monarch butterflies they go to at the end of their life cycle? And people pay thousands of dollars to go look at these butterflies. There's so many butterflies that will come into that town, it will bend the trees over. Is that not amazing? I want to go there one day. I don't have a bucket list, but some church members here, if y'all want to send me on vacation. But nobody ever goes, people every year migrate down there to go see these butterflies. But nobody goes to see worms. Right? Nobody's looking for where the worms get together before they go in the cocoon. Do they? No. As a matter of fact, people don't like worms. My wife, when we first got married, I liked trout fishing, and she would find a tub of worms in our refrigerator. She didn't like that. But everybody likes a butterfly. See, that's what God did on this mountain. He transfigured his son. See, the world saw a worm. The world saw something that they mocked, that they ridiculed, that in just a few days they would hang on a cross. And even David said of Christ on the cross in Psalms 22:6, he said, I am a worm and not a man. And so here's what it is. Jesus is a worm to everybody else. Jesus, he is a nothing. He is a nobody to everybody else. But here's what God does. He puts you through a time of pressure. And he puts you through it just like that cocoon. He puts you through a time of pressure and a time of darkness. And guess what? See, God knows what knew what was on the inside of Christ. Hey, and he was about to show the whole world what was on the inside of Christ. See, they saw him as a man. But God knew he was God. And guess what? Through a little pressure and it threw a little squeezing, God allowed the beauty that was on the inside to shine out on the outside. Amen. Amen. Now here's the beauty of this. He is allowing that godness to shine out, right? Okay, I don't know how else to say it. He had sucked his godness in. Now he's allowing that godness to just shine out. He's God's perfect man. He's man's perfect God. Amen. He's all God and he's all man. And he shined it out on the outside. But I like this because the Holy Ghost used this word in another text. Now, it's a different English word, but it's the same Greek word. This is how we get definitions in the Bible. Y'all ready? Y'all know this verse. I want y'all to help me. Romans 12, 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. The same Greek word for transfigured is transformed. Y'all get that? So guess what? Now, we're not Mormons. We're not working to be gods. We aren't gods. Right? We're not resisting that demigod urge. That's not nothing like that. But you hear me, if you're saved tonight, you got the Holy Ghost of God living within you. And what the world sees is a bunch of nothings, a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of people leaning on a crutch. But I'm gonna tell you what we've got. We've got God living on the inside of us. And so what God will do in our lives is he'll take a little pressure and he'll take a little squeezing. He'll give a little 10 years at the CHOA, the Children's Health Care of Atlanta. He'll do a little squeezing and he'll do a little wrenching out. He'll put you in some darkness. Hey, but I'm glad to report, if you're saved, he's not doing it to hurt you. He's doing it to help you. And what he's doing is he's allowing the God that lives on the inside of you to shine out to everybody on the outside. If we never faced hard times, if we never had darkness, if we never had squeezings, if we never had coffins, if we never had a little cancer, and I'm not signing up for it and you shouldn't either. Hey, but if the bad times come, it's because God is wanting to show himself mighty through your life. Now I have a message. This is introduction. I'm trying to get to the message. But my wife will tell you more times than not, this gets split up into a series. Am I telling it right? I've had to split this thing in half. I'm going somewhere. Y'all stick with me. Hey, let me tell you, believer, you don't need to be conformed. Conformed is like this. That's what the world wants to do to us. That's what the culture wants to do to us. That's what the system wants to do to us. But Christ wants to transform you. The Holy Ghost wants to transform. He wants to take the God that lives in you and shine him out in your life. All right, number three, I've got to move along. Definitely don't need to go backwards. Verse number three, we see the saints in this text. It's Moses and Elias, and man, you're not going to get two better saints. And I got a lot to say about them. I'm going to try to say it quick. And if y'all listen real quick, I'll say it very quick, like an auctioneer kind of quick, okay? So Moses is a representation of the law in your Bible. All right? It's the law of who? Moses. We know it's the law of God, but we call it the law of Moses. God gave the law through Moses, right? And Elijah, it was the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest of all the working prophets, okay? You say, well, what about Elisha? He had that double portion. He wouldn't have known about a portion if it wasn't for Elijah. Amen. So don't discredit Elijah. So he represents the prophets, and Moses represents the law. Is that right? We all, that's basic, that's Sunday school stuff, all right? But let me go a step further. Remember, Jesus is trying to prepare these men. Jesus is trying to show himself mighty to these men. Now, let me ask all this. Moses, right, and he had full strength. I believe, according to the scriptures, when he died, he had full strength. The reason he went in, he did not get to go in and possess the promised land is because me and my wife just read it the other day. He smote the rock twice, and he messed up a type of Christ in the Old Testament. People think, man, God sure was harsh not letting Moses go into the promised land. No, God wasn't harsh enough, because we got to be real careful with the gospel. That ought to let us know how serious God is with the gospel. Okay? So he smites the rock, and the angels bury him, and I'll come back to that in a minute. The angels bury him in the desert, right? And then now he's standing up here bodily. I don't know if he had a name tag on. I don't know if Jesus said, hey, this is Moses and Elijah. This is Peter, James, and John. I don't know what it was like. I wasn't there. All I know was what was written in the book. But apparently it was a bodily experience with Moses. Is everybody all right with that? We believe the Bible. Well, I don't believe this was a ghost. I don't believe this was spirit Moses. I believe this was a bodily viewing of Moses, sighting of Moses. Is everybody all right with that? So let's walk through this together. If Moses was dead and was buried in the wilderness, but now Moses is standing bodily on this mountain, what had to have happened to Moses for that to happen?
Amen.
He had to be resurrected from the grave.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Not only is Moses a representation of the law, but Moses is a representation of resurrected saints.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going somewhere, y'all. Y'all just hang on. Well, then wait. There's Elijah. Now, I know I'm in West Georgia, but I'm going to say the R word anyways. I'm going there. Here's Elijah. He goes over the brook Cherith. Smites the brook. He goes over the Jordan. He smites the Jordan. Y'all think the Jordan ever got tired of being split in half? Joshua, and you got Elijah and Elisha. It's like, I'm tired of this. Can't y'all build a bridge over here? But so he gets over there. He goes over with his Elisha, and he's called up to heaven with a whirlwind and chariot of fire. Now he's standing on the earth. So that means he didn't die, that the Holy Ghost didn't drop him off on top of some mountain somewhere. This lets us know that that he was raptured and God did exactly what he said he would do. Now you say, preacher, why are you bringing all? Because Jesus just said these men were going to die on a cross. Jesus just told these men, he said, I'm going to die. And you're going to go carry a cross. And to them, remember, of the end of a cross is crucifixion. Brother Rooster, this is amazing. Because one day, James is about going to have his head cut off. And can you imagine, is that man sharpening his axe? He's thinking, well, if Jesus don't come back and get me real soon, I've got hope that my Redeemer liveth. And one day, I'll see him. Hey, he'll resurrect this vile body. But then there was a day that old Peter was getting nailed upside down on the cross, and he was taking his last breath, and I can't help but think, he said, I remember that day we saw old Elijah, and I know God's able to call his saints out of here. And he told me, hey, old Paul's been preaching a lot about it. He might just do it, but if he doesn't, I know my God has got the ability. If he can get himself up and he can get Moses up, he can get me up. I better. These are some great saints. Would y'all agree with that? But then we got to get to verse 4. Hurry, hurry. I know. Hurry. Verse 4, we see silliness. And I know it's all been glory and good, but we got to get to this first. Look at verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Do you ever wish there was a period where there is, I think that's a colon. You ever wish there was just, he stopped right there? I know God wishes we would just stop right there sometimes too. Lord, it is good for us to be here. Just stop, Peter, stop. But he can't help himself, can he? Around our place, I say people take stupid pills sometimes. Y'all ever get any of them around here? Y'all probably don't. Y'all get any of them in Bremen, Brother Corey? Thank you for being honest, Brother Corey. I don't know if they sell them at Walmart. I don't know. But people get a hold of them and it's gone. This is that foot and mouth syndrome is one of the side effects. He said, if thou wilt. Can I just give a little side? I'm afraid most of our praying is not us trying to mold ourselves to God's will, but rather it's us trying to mold God to our will. Not all praying is right praying. Because look what he said. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles. Now let me give you a little Bible lesson here. I know we're in the New Testament. We're in the book of Matthew. But we are still living under the old covenant in this portion of Scripture. Here, what dictates the new covenant? The death of the testator. So there's no New Testament here. They're still living under. That's why Jesus goes to the feast. That's why at the end of this chapter, he's going to go and tell Peter to pay the temple tax. They're still under the system, right? Y'all with me? That's called this, just a little dispensational talk. And in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, what did they do in tabernacles? They worshiped. Now here's a problem. Let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee and, we just lost it right here. And one for who? and one for Elias. Now, I love Moses and Elijah. But, Trent, if they were here tonight, I'd have them to sign my Torah scroll or my Bible, whichever I had handy. I mean, the greatest, two of the greatest saints in the Bible, right here. But when put up beside Jesus, they don't hold a candle. There's no comparison. But Moses and Elijah, as great as they are, Peter is equating them with Jesus. He's putting them on the same plane as Jesus. He said, let me build a tabernacle for you, but I want to build one for Moses and Elijah too. He wanted to worship these fellas. I'm building my point. You say, preacher, there's no way they wanted to worship them. I can prove it. Why do you think that we find out in the book of Jude that the devil disputed with Michael the archangel over the body of who? Moses. Why didn't God let them have a funeral? He let them have a funeral for 30 days for Aaron, but he would not let the people of Israel bury Moses. You know why? Because if they did, they would have never went over and took the land. They would have built a tabernacle in that wilderness, and they're still worshiping Moses today. They're just doing it on the other side of the river. I'm going somewhere. Elijah. Y'all remember Elisha comes back over? Again, he smites the Jordan. He goes back over, and there's a bunch of sons of the prophets. Guys that, anyways, I better be quiet. Pray for me. There's a bunch of guys that never did anything. They just sit around and argue. And they said, let us go 3 days' journey and search for your master, lest the spirit had dropped him off on some mountain. I mean, I guess they were mid-tribbers. I don't know. I don't know. But they went and they wasted 3 days searching because they didn't believe in what God had done. But could it have been that they really just wanted his body to build a tabernacle over it? Now, one more thing. Am I okay? Are we good? We get into the tribulation. I'm not going to tribulation. Some of you may go. I don't know. That's up to you. But in the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, let me say that. About the middle, there's going to be two witnesses show up. There's all kind of arguing and all this. I'm not here to argue. But the Bible, the same miracles that the two witnesses do are the same miracles that Moses and Elijah do. At that time, the Antichrist is going to have set up the abomination of desolation in the temple, and they're not going to believe anybody that's not a Jew. Okay? So here's what's going to happen. They're going to be killed. They're going to lay in the street for 3 days. Blasphemies is going to be going up to heaven. They're going to have parties over the dead bodies of Moses and, well, those two witnesses. You say, preacher, why are people dispute? I may not make it to the big message. Y'all just hear me. I'll get it out here. If there was a wreck out here, right out there at the Dairy Queen, you're taking a right, somebody hits you, and I'm sitting in there having me a dilly bar with the pastor, right? We didn't see the wreck, right? But Brother Corey saw the wreck. He was out there in the parking lot. He saw the wreck. Are they, when the police show up, are they going to run past Brother Corey to me and Brother Justin in there eating our dilly bars and say, hey, what happened? No, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to a witness.
Yeah, right.
Y'all remember in Luke's gospel? It doesn't say two angels were at the tomb. It says two men in white apparel were at that tomb. I'm just preaching the Bible. So here they are before the cross. If you go to Luke's gospel and Mark's gospel, guess what they were discussing? They were discussing the cross. They were discussing Calvary. The law and the prophets and grace and truth were all on that mountain discussing Calvary.
Yeah.
Man, I'm trying to... So here they are here. Now, I don't know everything, but all I know is they were there at the empty tomb. I'd say that's a pretty good eyewitness.
Yeah.
And then in Acts 1, it's not two angels. I know what the cartoons did when we were little. It's two angels with little wings and say, why are you standing here gazing? That wasn't in the Bible. It said two men in white apparel.
Amen.
Is that right? So, Brother Justin, not only are they here before the cross, and then they could it could very well be them in the empty tomb, and then they're standing there at the ascension saying, y'all go get busy.
Yeah.
Now they're in the tribulation, and they've been killed, and they get up after 3 days. Wonder if Moses is going to get worn out from being resurrected from the grave. And then they're about to come after them again, but God's not having none of it. That's my sound for the rapture. That they went out. You say, preacher, why would God do that? Because even in the tribulation, see, the point of the tribulation is to get the Jewish nation to come back to Jesus. And why would he leave these two men there who, if they got a hold to their bodies, if they got a hold to these men, they'd start worshiping these men. We as a people, not just the Jews, Gentiles too, we have an innate problem with getting our eyes on people and not on God. It is bred into us. It's our nature. How many of y'all ever been coming into church? Somebody walks in and hadn't been here since Moby Dick was a minnow. Anybody? Anybody? Okay, y'all understand what I'm talking about. And they come in and you start critiquing them. I know, it's probably just me. Let me just tell y'all what I do, okay? Let me just tell y'all what I can't believe she came. I can't remember the last time she was here. This probably never happened to you men. You say, the wife said, honey. My wife's never said this. I've just heard other people tell about it. Honey, did you see what she wore Sunday? I believe in dressing right. Amen. But if they're coming, man, I'm happy about it.
Yes.
Amen. Somebody over here worshiping, we get thinking, I wonder if that's really real or not. Y'all ain't never thought that. Just me. Just me. It's me, Brother Corey. I'm preaching this message to me tonight. She's over there just having her time shouting. Ain't nobody else shouting. They too focused on everything else. And she's over there just, woo! When I was in evangelism for 13 years, and I would never tell my wife when we were going to dead churches. And you know what's worse than a dead church? A stuffy church. You know why? Because they're dead on purpose. They've drawn a line and said, we're going to do this on purpose. And it never failed. Man, she wouldn't hardly ever shout in the camp meeting churches. She wouldn't hardly ever shout. We'd go home. I mean, she'd get a little happy sometimes, but everybody shouts. I mean, little kids shout at Bible. I mean, and we'd be sitting over there, and I'd be happy. I'd be crying. And all of a sudden, Mama would lift my hands up, and I'd think, uh-oh. I want to get my phone out. You know, I'm done now. It don't matter what I'm... And she'll go, woo! And I'm like, yes, this pastor's so nervous right now. You know why we get like that? We get to looking at people. Can I make some confessions to y'all tonight? I'm not going to preach. Don't get nervous. I got 5 points of this message left. I ain't preaching the whole thing tonight. I'm just going to run through some things. That's what, you know, Paul wrote Philippians 3. He said, finally, my brethren. Then he wrote a whole other chapter of the book of Philippians. I remember when I was, and we're all susceptible to it, so let's just take our halos off. It's not just the bad saints. These are not bad saints. These are great saints. Sometimes we get so focused on the great saints in our life, we miss Jesus too. Giving man praise. And listen, I believe we ought to give roses. I believe we ought to love on people. I want to honor people, right? I think a lot of that honoring gets in the way of Jesus sometimes. Remember here, they're up on this mountain. They're up on this mountain, Brother Corey, and they've got Jesus standing there. And they are so focused on these two great saints, they can't focus on Jesus. I've been guilty. Well, God birthed this message in my heart in 2017. It's crazy. My wife says I got a photographic memory, but I was sitting on a platform in a meeting, and a guy walked in, and he had done some pretty bad stuff. I mean, and was living in some bad stuff. Let me just, I'm not saying I was wrong or right. I'm not saying I was right. But this man was openly living in some bad stuff and still trying to do a lot of things he shouldn't have been doing. And I'm up on the platform. I'm booked in the meeting, Brother Corey. And I'm playing my guitar, and as soon as that guy walked in, I might as well have just left the building. Probably never happened to any of y'all. It's just me. Brother Adam, I remember sitting there, and about an hour and a half into that message or that service, there's a man up preaching who's not doing anything wrong, who's got the touch of God on him. And all of a sudden, I kind of come to. I was just angry. I was bitter. It ain't even none of my business. I'm telling on myself. Y'all don't have to come tell me all your stories after church. Tell them on me. I remember, brother, the Holy Ghost convicted my heart. And this is the question that got in my heart. What have you got out of this message? Anybody else? Don't act like y'all ain't got a little Pharisee in you. I see your tallits hanging out a little bit. All right? We got our fringes, right? Make long them garments. God convicted me. And this was the verse, verse 8. Seeing no man save Jesus only. I tell you what we need to do. We need to go from seeing, from silliness to seeing no man save Jesus only. In verse number 5, the cloud overshadows. And remember, we're in the Old Testament. And that cloud in the Old Testament was a type of who? The Holy Ghost. All right? Think about this. You got the three of the greatest New Testament preachers in our Bible standing on that mountain. You got two of the greatest Old Testament saints standing on that Bible, or on that mountain. But when that cloud settles in, Jesus is the only one shining. When that cloud really gets in there, I can't see, Brother Allen. You're Brother Allen, right? I think that's right.
Yes.
When that cloud really settles in, I can't see Brother Trent or Brother Rooster. Great saints. Yes. Men I love.
Yes.
I can't see them. When that you say, preacher, what are you talking about? This is not charismatic. It's automatic. Amen?
Amen.
We are missing in our churches. Not something drummed up. Not something worked up. I'm talking about we are missing the manifested presence of God in our churches. On the road, my wife and I have been in hundreds and hundreds of churches, and in my estimation, some of the best churches. Some of the best. But there was a 2-year span, I remember, and listen, there's nothing wrong with going in, preaching the Bible week after week. People need Bible preaching. But I remember back when I was growing up, by Thursday or Friday night, you so full, the kettle was going to spout off.
Yes, sir.
I remember the first time I ever got in the glory, Brother Adam, Brother James Langston had come down for our November revival in 2008 at Ridge Road Baptist Church, old Brother Pat Paul Langston. I say that very reverently. That's what he goes by. Man, he is an old-time Holy Ghost, double-dip, dyed-in-the-wool, Mount Sinai, forked lightning man of God.
Amen.
I was just in meeting with him the other day, 90 years old, and I'm talking about witty and sharp as ever. And you hear me? He came down out of the mountains that fall. Man, God began to move that week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday night, he preached on heaven. I thought we was going to go into orbit. We got in there Friday night. I remember spring of that year. We had had a big meeting at the church, and Brother Bagwell was preaching. I had surrendered my life to God completely that spring of 08. This was about the time we would have been around in this area together. And Brother Bagwell was there, and I give my life completely to God. And there was a guy that had gotten saved that week, and he took off running, shouting. And we only had one aisle at Ridge Road at that time. One aisle. And I leaned over to my cousin. I said, I won't ever do that. As skinny as I am, it don't look like I ever quit running. But anyways, I went in there that fall. Brother Langston preached his heart out. And man, he plowed our road. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He got down to where we lived. And that old mountain way, Brother Young, that old gray-haired man that could say it, and everybody just smiled. About Friday night, man, it got on in there. I'll never forget it. There were some ladies up singing, "Rejoice, my children, rejoice, for our name is recorded today." And I was feeling pretty good right there. My grandmother was getting up out of the altar. Brother Young, you remember there used to just be one altar there in the middle at the Ridge Road, the old building. And I went to go help my grandmother up. And she hugged me and she said, "Honey, I can't wait to see you in heaven." And for the next 15 minutes, there was a fellow that looked just like me, run up down the aisle, run up down the hallway, run up down the dirt road.
Amen. Yeah.
You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about for the first time. Hey, I just got in there with God. I remember as a little boy, "Y'all okay tonight?" I'm telling you what, we're missing. We're missing the cloud, because when you're in the cloud, you can't see your faults of everybody else. You can't see the positive of everybody else. All you can see is Jesus. That's the goal, seeing Jesus. I remember as a little boy, I wasn't even saved yet, didn't even know I needed to be saved yet. My great-grandfather, Paul Sutherland, there may be some people in this building that remember Paul Sutherland, but we lived off Angham Road. It used to be Hiram Powder Springs Road. It's Angham Road now, right across from East Hiram Baptist Church, a little pond out there. And my grandparents on that property, they built my great-grandpa a one-room building out in the back and put a camper on the back, had a screen door in it, had more holding screen, Brother Corey. And there was an old deacon, Brother Russell Aston, that went to Cochran Ridge Baptist Church with us, and they would come over. And he had, my pawpaw had a Magnavox TV, looked big enough you could ride. Somebody say amen. Put a saddle on that thing and ride it to town. And I would walk in that door, and pawpaw, he couldn't read or write, but he called it a VRC. And he had, I remember walking in the first time I really realized what was going on. Again, I was lost. I didn't know God. I'd just been around the right stuff. And Brother Justin, I remember walking in that screen door that day to go sit with Brother Russell and Paul. And Paul called me over there, and they was both just a-weeping. And I knew somebody else was in that room. I knew there was something going on. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. I can remember that. That's the first time, Brother Jeff, I know that I experienced God. I know that God was there. God was. I'm not being mystical tonight. I'm being real tonight, because, hey, a church shouldn't be the only time you get with God. You'll have to turn off some country music and some rock music and all that other and get with God. You'll have to turn the TV off. We'll have to turn our phones off, and we'll just have to get along with God. They were sitting in there, and Miss Rita, they had the 1988 Live with the McCameys on. I'll never forget it. I was born in 1988. So that was a fairly new videotape at that time. You children, a videotape is this thing. Anyways. And I sat in my pawpaw's lap as he wept down my neck, and him and Brother Russell just sat there and wept and talked about Jesus. And I knew somebody bigger than me was there. I got to grow up in an atmosphere here in West Georgia, and I told our church a little bit about it Sunday night over at Cochran Ridge Baptist Church, and y'all were going through a move of God here, and Happy Valley was having a move of God, and Post Oak was having a move of God, and Revival Baptist was having a move of God, and there was just, it was just settled in the West Georgia area, and it seemed like everywhere you went, you could whisper Jesus in the foyer, and God would just move, and people had walked with God during the day. There was a lot of Philadelphians still alive at that time, and there was people that walked with God in their garden, and they walked with God at the factory, and they walked with God. Brother Sam Shipp, how many of y'all remember Brother Sam Shipp? Brother Sam Shipp would go over there, and he would walk around in the graveyard up at the old Methodist church across from First Baptist of Hiram, and he would get out there, and he would wade in that grass up to his thighs, and he'd come out there and walk around and pray for hours. And people like Grandmama Bonds and Curtis Bonds and all these old men and women of God, and I grew up at their feet, and I grew up knowing people that walked with God. But more than I knew people that walked with God, I knew the God. I got to know the God that walks with people. And what our generation needs, more than we need money, more than we need an economic boom, more than we need some more money or more things or more stuff, hey, what we need is for our children and our homes and our marriages and our churches and our ministries, hey, we need to know the absolute manifested presence of God. We're missing it tonight. We're missing it. There was a word said there in verse 5. The God began to speak. So if God's speaking, what we call that? The word of what? God, right? I'm not being a smart aleck, but that's right. That's the word. You ain't going to get much more word of God than that. And he said three things. He said, "This is my beloved son." He confirmed who Jesus was. Yeah. Remember, they're scratching their head. I wonder if he really is who he said he is. He's going to die. How can God die? He said, this is my beloved son. And then he commends Jesus, in whom I am well pleased. And then he says, hear ye him. He commands us to do something with Jesus. And let me tell you, every time the word of God's preached in power with the right spirit, it ought to commend who Jesus is.
Amen.
It ought to confirm who Jesus is. And it ought to command us to do something with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, we want something that tells us a lot of knowledge. Remember John the Baptist, right? Remember John the Baptist? They said Herod heard him gladly. Did y'all know John the Baptist was Herod's favorite preacher? Amen. Until he got on Herod's wife. That probably don't happen in Powder Springs, does it? He turned that gospel gun towards Herod's wife. And guess what happened? He cut the voice of the preacher off. See, he wanted to be fed, but he did not want to be led. Teaching will feed you, but preaching will lead you. And I'm afraid a lot of people, because it got on our road, we've cut the voice of the preacher off. We want feed us. Oh, feed us. Feed us. There's preachers, Brother Justin, I know there's preachers that pastors would not have in evangelism because they were afraid they would preach something that would tick somebody off. I don't know how else to say it. They want, and guess what? That's what you call a hireling. If a man will withhold a Bible preacher, I'm not talking about a jerk for Jesus or a smart aleck, but if a man will withhold a Bible preacher from his people for preaching thus saith the Lord, that man needs to be removed, and a man that loves you ought to be put in that position.
Amen.
Amen. And I believe you got a man like that. Amen. Now hear me. I'm moving on. The next verse, verse 6, said when this happened, they what? They fell to their face. Is that right? I don't have my Bible. They fell to their face. Y'all want to tell? Look here. This is going to be caught more than taught. You know how to quit looking at everybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't see Brother Trent. I can't see Brother Justin anymore. I can't see Brother Corey. I can't see my wife. When I'm in this posture right here, I can see no man but Jesus only. You say, preacher, that's too simple. I think that's what we're missing.
Yeah.
You're right.
A lot of people didn't like Brother Sammy Allen. If you didn't like him, please don't meet me. I'm still, don't tell me after church, I'm still Paulding County redneck enough to. Well, anyways, I remember going to Mexico with him. 4-hour time difference. Preaching through an interpreter. And it's hard enough preaching through an interpreter, but could you imagine Sammy Allen preaching through an interpreter? If those of you that don't know, Brother Sammy would quote like half the New Testament.
Yes,
and here's this poor interpreter. Because he didn't know half the New Testament like Brother Sammy. I remember he was preaching one night, and Brother Sammy, and there's 400 Mexicans there at this service, and Brother Sammy said, hey, I ransacked the scriptures.
Yeah.
And the interpreter said, what did he say? I said, he searched. But we would stay up every night. He'd stay up. He took a roll of knives, case knives with. I don't know. I'm not him. I'm just telling you. He'd sit there and he'd shine case knives. 4-hour time difference. He'd go to bed about 12 o'clock Pacific time. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear him get up. I slept in his room. He asked me to sleep in his floor. About 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd go over. And there was a bathroom in our room. And he'd leave the door cracked just a little bit, Brother Corey, about that much. And I'm not being weird, I'm not being goofy, but he didn't have nowhere to pray but at the toilet. So he would close the lid and he'd use the toilet as an altar. And for 4 and 5 and 6 hours. Can I just confess, y'all, I didn't pray hardly at all that week. Not in the mornings. I just sit there and listen. Pray around the world every day. And I'm not saying you got to do that. I'm not trying to put you under any kind of bond. I'm just telling you, there was a generation of men that did that. There was a generation of women that did that. Leonard Ravenhill said it was not his father's hellfire and damnation preaching that drew him to Christ. It was his mother and his grandmother's worship and prayer life. Said he'd sneak into his grandmother's house. She lived a few houses down, and she would wear aprons that went all the way down the floor, and she had a rocking chair in the corner of her living room, and she would pull that apron up over her head so she was in a closet, you know, and she'd sit there and she'd rock in that chair and just pray and talk to God. He said he'd sit there for hours, and he said, I don't even know she knew I was there. I tell you, we're missing that. You say, preacher, that's not deep. I'm not a deep preacher. That's just real preaching. We're so busy. I'm so busy. And it's hard to see Jesus when you're not praying. The next verse, verse 7, it says he touched them, right? Is that right, preacher? You help me. He touched them. I call this the longing. So you got a lingering, you got a listening, you got a lowering, you got a longing. In the midst of all this going on, and I'm not being weird, but Jesus put his hand on these young men. Can I tell you, those men lived off of that touch for a long time. Those men, Peter's going to be crucified upside down. James is going to go through his stuff. They're going to go through some tough stuff. But you hear me, John is an old preacher. Can y'all imagine? Okay, he's been preaching. He's 90, so history says. And Brother Corey, can you imagine that day he got up at Ephesus and preached something hard enough to make them boil him in oil? Let me tell you what I got to say. And it is boiling oil. Have y'all ever thought about that? We think young preachers are rough. I've heard some old preachers. See, I'm in that middle time. I got to be careful what I say. But if you're really young, they say, oh, he's just a young preacher. If you're really old, they say, oh, he's just an old preacher. We got to be held accountable for what we say. Ain't that horrible? They made him so, he made them so mad, they boiled him in oil. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, that didn't kill the old timer. They exiled him to Patmos. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, you say, what day is the Lord's day? Every day that ends with Y. You can be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. But y'all remember what happened? I'm not going to turn over there. Y'all remember what happened? He's heard somebody talking behind him. It was a voice of many waters. And that old preacher, I don't know if he's hard of hearing yet, Brother Adam, he had his back turned to Jesus. I can't help but think John in his heart said, I know that voice. Amen. Amen. I know that voice. And he turned around. And you know what the old preacher did? He did the same thing he did as a young preacher. He got down real low. And what did the old preacher need? Just what the young preacher needed. Because Jesus reached down and he put his hand on that young preacher, or that old preacher. And guess what he did? He went on to write one of the greatest books in our Bible. He got to write things that the Apostle Paul was not allowed to speak about. I'll tell you what we need. We need the touch of God on us. I grew up in Paulden County. I've known this area. I reminisce coming through. I went to pre-K at First Baptist of Powder Springs. How many of y'all remember back in the 90s when everybody came to that Dairy Queen? Anybody? Am I right, Doodles? I mean, you get the pickles in the cups. They had the Lego table. Somebody say, man, restaurant just ain't the same no more, Brother Corey. But we grew up here. I grew up in good old boy religion. It meant something to my grandparents. It meant something to my parents. It meant something to my pastor. And though I was saved, I didn't know God. I alluded to it earlier, but remember on March 22nd, 2008, me and my best friend, Grant Hardiman, we got an altar at the Ridge Road Baptist Church in the middle of the day, nobody around. I said, God, if you want me to be a pastor, if you want me to be an evangelist, if you want me to be a missionary, God, if you want me to stay here and clean the toilets at this church the rest of my life, that's what I want to do. I went to my daddy's study that day. I never heard this preached on, Brother Justin, but I went and got my daddy's study that day, and I got this blank piece of paper. And I signed the bottom line. I said, God, I don't want this anymore. Take my life. I wonder if you've ever done that. Maybe not necessarily physically like this, but have you ever done that? Have you ever given God everything? See, we often think, we preach on things, and I'm not against preaching on things. Paul preached on things. Love not the, what, things of this world, right? We preach on things. But more than God wants our music or our clothes or our habits or our vices or our addictions, God wants us. Does he have you tonight? My mentor, Brother Stennett Ballou, he had a big old offering plate he'd travel around with one sometime. I don't know if you've ever seen the picture. And he literally would stand in the offering plate and say, this is what God wants. He wants me. A living sacrifice. Does he have you tonight? If he doesn't, something does. You know, the Bible says, give no what? Place to the devil. The only place the devil has in your life is the one you gave him. Last thing, verse 8. They looked. If you want to see Jesus, you just got to look. He's bigger than everybody. He's better than everybody. You know, I've been dissatisfied with saints in my life. I've been a Baptist since 9 months before I was born. Grew up, my daddy was a youth pastor for 12 years of my life. He's a pastor for 23 years of my life. I was in missions evangelism. I was in vandalism for a while, and now I'm pastoring. Doodles remembers those days. Yeah. If I look at saints all the time, and I love God's people, I love the brethren. They're the best people in this world. But I'm going to hurt you. You may hurt me. I may let you down. I may fail. I may quit. I may fall. I may change. But there's one. There's one that's never going to quit. There's one that's never going to change. There's one that's never going to wobble on the axle. There's one that's never going to give up. There's one that's never going to change his position on a matter. He is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't say, Moses, go tell him the I was sent you. He didn't say, go tell him the I'm going to be sent you. He said, you go tell him the I am sent you. What he always has been is what he always will be. And you can look to him. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. These altars is open. Brother Justin, I hand it back over to you, preacher.
All right, Brother Corey's going to come around and give a verse of invitation. But I tell you what, the Lord has been speaking to my heart, beating down the door during this message tonight. I'm going to ask for a church all invitation, meaning all the church that would meet us in the altar tonight. If we don't do that, very few times have I done that. But if we don't do that, somebody that needs to be down here may not come. So that's what I want to do, Brother Corey. Whatever you, whether it's instrumental, whether it's singing in tune to that, all that would meet us in the altar tonight. I'm like Brother Chris. I've allowed people, places, and things to get in my view, in front of me, and I have missed out on God several times. God has given me burned sermons in my heart to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but I've been so focused on other things that I walked away as full as I was when I came in there with that message. I miss God. Have you missed God in some areas of your life? Listen, this is what Jubilee Revival is all about, is meeting with the Lord Himself. Maybe you need to come tonight and just say, Lord, you know, I've allowed things to get in front of me. I've allowed things to block and restrict my spiritual vision of you. But tonight, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me. And Lord, let me get a fresh glimpse of you tonight. And while I say that, there may be someone here that may not even know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. There may be someone watching online on Facebook and may not even know the Lord. May say, what's that all about? Well, this is what it's all about, is recognizing that you're a sinner. Yes, sir. separated from God, like all of us that are here, born, natural born sinners because of that original sin. And that sin has separated you and I from God the Father. But good news tonight, you've heard it all night through the preacher, God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want to mention this verse, a couple more verses, and then we'll pray. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The next verse, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then praise God for verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever your need is, something you're already praying, I want to lead us in a word of prayer, but you pray as we pray, and you come if you need to come tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your man that come by tonight, Lord, with a tremendous message from the gospel. Thank you, God, that you were high and lifted up tonight. Father, we have a clear view of Jesus tonight. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes off of man and get our eyes, Lord, off of things and situations and circumstances. God, you're able. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Father, we just return to you tonight. The writer, John, said there in Revelation chapter number 2, Lord, he talked about leaving your first love. He didn't say lost your first love. Because once, Lord, we meet you, we'll never lose you. You'll never lose us. It's a permanent salvation. But, Lord, we can lose sight. We can lose sight, Lord, of that love. And so, Father, tonight we just rededicate ourselves and ask us, Lord, I ask you to refresh us and anoint us afresh and anew from the pulpit all the way up to the back pew, Lord, and down below us in the Junior Jubilee. We love you tonight. And Father, I pray that you bless Brother Chris and his sweet family and their church. We thank you for Ridge Road Baptist Church. We just pray that you bless them continually. Bless us, Lord, as we continue through our Jubilee week. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen.
All to Jesus I surrender.
There's still time if you need to come.
All to Him I freely give. And I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Sing it if you know it.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Glad you came tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Chris, God bless you, brother. Thank you, man. And looking forward to being in future meetings with you. Amen. Amen. So we'll get that information out so you'll have it in hand. Big youth meeting, Brother Chris's church. Remember that. Also remember tomorrow night, of course, yeah, it's Tuesday. I said this yesterday thinking that tonight was Wednesday. But anyway, tomorrow night, of course, we expect you to be at your place of worship, your church. But we will have Brother Craig Edwards come through and bring God's word to us. And we're going to have Pine Valley Baptist Church Youth Choir. We're going to have a youth jubilee tomorrow night. Youthful. And if I could say that. So it's going to be another great night tomorrow night. And then we're going to, of course, we're going to conclude the meeting. That is, if God wants us to, with Brother Mark Stroud on Thursday and Deborah Perry and Jaden's call with us. So we would love to have you. I feel like things are beginning to turn during our Jubilee week. Amen. Did y'all feel anything tonight? Amen. I feel like things are beginning to turn. And amen. I'm going to have a meeting, Brother Corey.
Amen.
Good Lord, I need it, man. I need it. All right. All right. Well, everybody be safe on your way home, and tell somebody you love them on the way out. God bless you. You're free to go.